music and talk radio about all things all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemon. This episode is produced in partnership with West Coast Women in Engineering, Science, and Technology.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University.
Burnaby is located on the ancestral and stolen homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples. You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree.com/cjsfradio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Intravenous. Very special episode today.
Very special.
My name is Stella. I'm the programming assistant at the station.
I'm Logan. I'm the community outreach and promotions assistant.
I'm Rebecca, and I'm in the public affairs sector.
And all three of us are going to have a bit of a conversation today with some different perspectives about misandry.
So I've been wanting to talk about this.
Yeah, it's an exciting, controversial, slightly topic, but we'll get into it after we play this song. We each chose a song today, and this is my song. It's called For You by Kajia Bonet. And my sister actually showed this to me, and I really like it, so I hope you also really like it. We'll be back after this break.
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Explores 1990s indie classics, recently exhumed underground gems, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Tune in if you're a slacker, loser, or creep for an hour of positively nostalgic triggers and some new stuff too on CJSF 90.1 FM or streaming at cjsf.ca.
Welcome back, everyone. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, and you are tuning in to Intravenous today, every Wednesday at 10 a.m. And again, my name is Stella.
I'm Logan.
I'm Rebecca.
And today we are going to talk about misandry.
So,
yeah, Logan can start us off with it.
Just to kind of solidify the conversation, I guess the understanding we're using is misandry is this sort of radical indifference to men, in the sense that we are so socialized to center men in our lives, and instead of that you're kind of faced with this sort of like rejection of that and saying, you know what, maybe we should stop doing that. Maybe we should decenter men. Maybe we should think about other things instead. Mm-hmm. And kind of critiquing that male focus.
Yeah, that is one perspective of misandry that is becoming more talked about. But for a while, misandry has been very much used by anti-feminist male groups to almost in a way like center this misandry around men and hating men instead of that is an aspect of it, but it's not just hating each individual man. There is more of a structural underlying to it than a lot of people acknowledge.
Yeah, it's really interesting. People talk a lot about how like there's misogyny and there's misandry and you can equate the two. Mm. But really you can't. You know, misogyny is a structural, like, based in so many places around the world. There's this violence against women, oppression against women, exploitation of women, exploitation of gendered minorities through the patriarchy, through a male-dominated sphere, and then we have misandry, which opposes that and questions that and kind of puts it into light. Mm-hmm. It's so dissimilar. In no way, when someone who is less powerful critiques the powerful, that is not the same thing as a powerful hating on or critiquing the powerless, when you see with misogyny, which is just reinforcing these systems of oppression that are already there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I was looking at like a definition, like when I was researching this and I was scrolling through so many definitions, and the common word in like all of them was just like hatred. It was all just like talking mm-hmm. about the hatred of men and boys and all of that. And it was really common to like see the way of like simplifying the definition as like, oh, it's the opposite of misogyny, and like that's the clearest thing that was like seen, and there's no like talk about it's more complex than just the opposite of misogyny.
So, yeah, totally, especially positioning it within the patriarchy, like Logan was saying, how there is the hatred is coming, or the hatred or contempt or negative emotions towards men, it's coming from the more oppressed group, which is women, towards the more structurally powerful. So it's not even a similar dynamic. It's like, yeah. For me, I feel like it's a completely different thing. And a lot of people see it as just women hating men the same way that men hate women, but it's not the same.
How do you guys feel like hate is something that we should avoid? Or do you feel like it is helpful?
I personally think like hate is too strong of a word, because you're like saying like all men like hate women or like all women hate men, I think is too strong of a word, because it's like encompassing everybody that is like a part of that sex. Necessarily,
that's the
like
word all. Like, what about the word hate? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I think it's too strong to use it for a collective, like, thing. Mm. Like, mm. I think hate is such, like, it has such strong connotations to it that I think for the, like, severity of it, like, using it in a collective sense, I don't think is right. Like, I think it's too strong of a word.
Because those that don't find themselves in that much of, like, a radical camp are just being pulled into it, kind of.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think maybe I don't think it's a non-effective way to talk about hatred, because when I guess we should more examine like the source of that hatred. And I think in terms of misandry, the source of this, and it might not even necessarily be hatred, but if we're talking like the more extreme side of it, I think it does stem from a lot of anger, which is what we could talk about more and might be a bit better. But I think it's also good to acknowledge that there is some form of hatred as well on both sides, and just to investigate where that comes from.
Yeah. I think hatred can be important sometimes. I think hatred can kind of, I guess, when you... Oh God, I was gonna say interrogate again.
Yeah, last week she was on a roll with interrogation.
Yeah, when you analyze it, like what you're saying, and bring it back to anger, that is important, because when you feel this anger and this disgust and this like, that kind of brings you forward to try to make a change and try to analyze what you don't want in society, if that makes sense. Like, anger has kept me going so many times. It's not a sustainable emotion at all, but it definitely like puts things in perspective and doesn't let you get complacent with the system.
Yeah. Mm. And this, yeah, I'm gonna say it. I think that
You're gonna say it.
I was debating.
It's like better than a drum roll.
But I think people kind of discredit the word hatred a lot and see it as a blind thing, like blind hatred towards something or somebody for just prejudiced reasons. And that is the case in a lot of different aspects of different kinds of hatred. But I think if we're talking about misandry specifically, it is important to acknowledge this hatred is not just blind. There's not no reason for it. Like, there is a lot of history and continuing things that are adding on to this hatred.
Yeah, God. I mean, sometimes I talk to a man and I explain to him about, like, feminism or something, and then he reverses the question. He's like, well, like, how do you, like, what do you do for men? And I'm like, we're not talking about that right now.
Yeah.
And, but the thing is, like, the thing that is important to understand is, of course, I mean, within the patriarchy, it's not these individual men that are the ones establishing this exploitation of women. I feel like a lot of, I don't know, I was listening to this podcast about misandry going up to work to try to like get some research on it, and they said that climate change was because men don't recycle. And I was like, it's not that men are the ones. Men are the ones who didn't as like establish patriarchy, just like, aha, and then they all collaborated and decided to go on with this. It's more like this system that hurts, like this whole, like, that relies on this gender division and oppresses genders, mm-hmm. of course. And I feel like people always talk about that, and it's important to understand, like, you know, men are also in worse positions, in some worse positions because of the patriarchy. Mm-hmm. We would all benefit from liberation from the patriarchy. But it's, I guess with misandry, it's kind of like critiquing so many men because there's like this dimension of power that just so is embedded in so many men that there is so much aggression and patronization and just like disturbing behavior.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I think misandry kind of comes from a lot of concrete things and very real experiences that women have with men that fuels this feeling. And with misogyny, it's very much men might feel like they have negative experiences with women, but it's most often their entitlement or their ego being threatened by women that makes it feel so negative. And then with misandry, it's more like feeling safe and having some sort of autonomy that's being threatened, potentially.
Yeah, and also it's like when a man is critiquing a woman, a lot of the times, like, the reason he disagrees with her or doesn't like her or hates her even is because of who she is more as an individual. While with misandry, you start to see a pattern because a lot of the behavior that is critiqued that men do is about their position within the power structure, like the gendered power structure, and how that carries out into their actions and their behavior, like their thought processes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you both have been saying. I like read somewhere as well that it was kind of interesting to think that the concept of like the hatred in like this context was, I can't remember where I read it, but it was like someone saying that it almost like overpowers looking at like the causes and the solutions, because there's like sometimes the media will focus too much just on the hatred aspect and the feeling that you kind of lose track of like, well, what is causing it and how can we like change that? I mean, I don't know like how you guys feel about that, like with the media.
Wait, how we can change?
So like how we can change like the causes of like this feeling that like women are feeling, or that men feel, of like this hatred
towards men.
Well, like from both sides. If like men feel like a hatred for women, or women are feeling a hatred for men, like the causes of that feeling sometimes get slightly forgotten about because there's too much focus just on the hatred that is being felt.
Yeah, it's, I think misandry can be used when they're only focusing on hatred and framing it as very irrational with an over emotional for women and things like that. It is definitely used to discredit the feminist movement, for example. Like, it is, I see it in the media, it's very misandry can be sensationalized to the point where it's just a joke. And there it is, it has been a joke in the media for a while, and women use it as a joke too. It's not always completely serious, but as you know, there's truth to every joke. But yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting how easily it's dismissed. I mean, I feel like when women show anger or, you know, protest against something, it makes, like, it's always based exactly what you're saying in this, like, irrationality that just ties back to these gender roles and gender stereotypes.
Yeah, I was reading an article about this, and they were talking about this idea of anger silencing. So, as we were saying before, like, this hatred within misandry comes from a lot of anger towards men, and it is, anger silencing is silencing a marginalized individual by demanding that they alter their tone and subdue their anger for the sake of the listener. And that is very gendered and very like, even in daily life, women are kind of socialized to taught not to, like, step on anyone's toes or make anyone feel uncomfortable with how they feel or any of their opinions. And this is kind of another way of policing women's emotions.
Mm. And you see this with other struggles as well, like with race, for example. You definitely see this, like, you must cater to white people, you must, like, always tone down. And you see this with ableism, with so many different, with even, like, homosexuality, so many different struggles.
Yeah, that's true.
And I guess it kind of just goes back to this questioning the status quo is completely, you know, out of the picture. Mm-hmm. Because when you start to destabilize, like, when you start to criticize patriarchy or white supremacy or ableism, you kind of start to question the system that it upholds. And I feel like when we talk about, you know, like, oh, when we get rid of, like, the base of these two feelings, like what Rebecca was saying, it's like, I don't know exactly where I'm going with this. Let's see what happens. I guess it is really easy to just kind of paint it as this sort of feeling instead of this, as Stella was saying, like, structural manifestation of, like, anger is stemming from a material base. And even, like, the painting of women as emotional and irrational, one could say, is, like, a way to uphold the patriarchy, in a sense, because then any complaints or rejection of the patriarchy is seen as an irrational decision or as an emotionally based decision, and thereby, like, destabilizing that critique.
Yeah, definitely. I think we all agree that there is a lot more to misandry than just hatred towards men. Like, there's, as Logan was saying, there's structural things, and Rebecca was saying we need to investigate these feelings. Like, where does it come from? It comes from these feelings, or not these feelings, it comes from these structural inequalities and injustices and prejudices towards women. And I think we are gonna, okay, yeah, Logan has something to say before our next little break.
I mean, even, like, the phrase, like, kill all men, is taken out of context, because there is no institutional violence against all men because of their gender, while women are continuously, like, bombarded with news and stories of this institutionalized violence. And so it's really, like, it kind of shows the double standard used when we critique or talk about how men are scared while women face this violent reality every day. And also, women aren't regarded often as, like, a threat to men's physical well-being as much.
Yeah, totally.
So it is, like, that. I feel like that's kind of a good illustration of this kind of unevenness.
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, if you frame it in the way where misogyny and misandry are completely equal and saying kill all men versus kill all women from those two different perspectives, it's not, like, those things are not going to have the same impact at all. And I think people try to do that very shallow baseline comparison. Like, oh, well, if women are saying this, like, why can't we say this? And it's just, it sounds hypocritical, but it's also, like, you need to understand the, like, the nuances behind misandry versus misogyny to see why it's different
and valid. okay
The next song is gonna be Rebecca's song, so if you want to introduce it.
Yeah, this is a song that was released in 2021 by a transgender artist, Shea Diamond, who advocates for transgender rights through her music and has this really, like, moving backstory to her music of, like, trying to figure out her gender and, like, while writing her songs in prison because of her struggles in trying to figure out who she was. But yeah, this one's called Smile.
All right, now you're breakdown. I'ma start it with a breakdown. 10 years in a lockdown. Now I'm looking at lakes now. I dry my tears with Orax and lyrics. Not trying to hear it. Stop messing.
Welcome back to CJSM 90.1 FM. This is Intravenous, and I'm Rebecca.
I'm Logan.
And I'm Stella. And if you're just tuning in now, we have been having a conversation about misandry, and we're going to continue that conversation right now.
Take it away.
So I wanted to pose a question to you guys on a debate about misandry that I was seeing a lot online when I was researching this topic, about whether misandry should be legally classified as a hate crime, because there is a lot of fuel at the moment of getting misogyny classified legally to be like a protected characteristic and should be a hate crime. And there's been a bit of a comeback from some like men online saying, well, if misogyny is going to be classified, misandry should be too.
Wow.
So I thought we'll put that open for a bit of a discussion.
Wow. I have a huge smile on my face. I'm just shocked. I feel. Huh. Interesting. Wow. I would say, I mean, we've already established the fact that misandry and misogyny are completely different things. We have misogyny, which is backed by an institutionalized violent system that upholds gender dynamics that bring about the invisibilized labor of women. There's care work done, there's domestic work done, there's child work done by women, and it's not recognized and it's not valued. Meanwhile, we also have domestic abuse, we have sexual violence, we have, the list goes on and on of this patriarchal system